What's up? It's Baby Friday on the Fan Morning Show. Justin and Ailish. I have an incredible feeling about today. I don't know. I just woke up, with a pep in my step, hit all the green lights. Someone is watching over us today, and they're like, you're going to have a great day.
You say us, you deserved it. I don't have the same feeling. That's not washing over me, that feeling.
I woke up, I had a bunch of texts or messages or DMs from the listeners hitting the wake and rake back-to-back days. All green lights.
You know what it is? Speaking of green lights, how we're finishing the year here or heading into the holiday break is like a birdie on 18.
Oh, that's right.
It's keeping us around. It's keeping us around. We're going to come back next year. We're going to come back for the next round because we know the magic of winning a couple wake and rakes on the way out.
Really? You just
got that nice feeling on the way home in the car.
It boosts the vibes.
But really, the 17 holes before it.
Yeah.
Maybe okay. Not so good.
We got the 2 o'clock next gen game. Flyers in town against the Maple Leafs. Justin's going to his first Leafs game this year.
Now, I feel very obligated because I'm kind of tired today.
I could
find myself, I mean, yesterday, I'm feeling the crunch for this holiday season, but I could find myself in a different world where maybe I didn't make so many promises.
You wouldn't have went.
That I'd get home and I'd be like, wow, this pillow feels good right now.
You would bail on this experience today?
No, but I've already committed. I've committed. And when I do commit, I commit.
That would be so gutty. You know what?
But like, let's say we hadn't talked about it that much. Let's say we were like, you know, it was just like,
I kind of circled on my calendar for 3 weeks because you're going to be there.
If I threw a maybe out there, I probably would bail.
You know what would be a good excuse and an adequate excuse is this generational storm that's around the corner. They're calling it the generational storm.
The Connor Bedard of storms.
I got a text yesterday that was like, yo, they're calling the storm the generational storm. The Connor Bedard of storms. I laugh so hard. I'm only going to refer to storms as...
Who had that line?
Don't worry about it.
I wanted to congratulate them. Wow. A good line.
It was a good line. The only way I will refer to storms is by the hockey equivalent.
Oh, right.
Is there a Shane Wright storm? Maybe that was what we had last week.
Shane Wright storm. There's no worry about coming in the next day. We're fine.
That was the last week when they were like, buckle up. And then it was a flurry for, I don't know, 8 to 10 minutes.
I'm thinking this is going to be more like Juraj Slafkovský types of storm.
Oh.
What, you're a Slafkovský?
Oh, no. Okay. I'm a little worried because everybody, you can't read a piece of information in this city without it saying, you're going to die.
I'm not the fake news guy throwing around that term, but I just feel like we're exaggerating these a little bit.
Justin.
Four clicks. I've been in the click game before.
And I mean, the word generational storm is hilarious.
Yes.
Like, are we going to look back when we're 65 and remember that generational storm?
If you see generational storm, you're
going
to click on it. You're going to be like, okay, when is this thing coming? They're just finding new ways to get you to open the page is all I'm saying.
I don't know. Listeners here across the province and country, and you've seen what's going on with Vancouver. People are sleeping in the airports because of snow. So I don't know. My buddy's Ian, the snowplow driver. How are you feeling this morning? Because if you're buckling up and you're putting gas in the tank today,
that's actually
he knows
who we need to hear from.
We need to hear from the people grinding.
What are the plans for those who are going to have to deal with this?
And will we be prepared? Because Toronto's never prepared.
When's it coming? We're out of here by 9 a.m. tomorrow. We could just, you know, we could sail home before it even starts.
Yes, the discussion we had this morning is, should Justin and Co., who live further than me, come into work tomorrow morning? I'm a little bit worried
because we got a big day tomorrow.
Yeah, it's the last day before
break. Last day before a break. Six work days will be off. We're exchanging gifts. Like, it's important that we're in tomorrow.
But if we don't come in on the 401.
But if we don't come in because of some clickbait headline, and we're sitting at home doing it over Zoom, not exchanging the gifts we bought for each other,
it's a tough spot to be in.
We're going to be better beavers.
So we need to talk to the experts in the text line. Like, there's a meteorologist for sure listening. Mm-hmm. We know our snowplow bros are up.
I trust the snowplow bros more than anything because they know what the task is. They know what's ahead of them. They're getting the right information.
They can read the radar.
Yeah.
So help us. Should we come into work tomorrow? Are you scared about the Connor Bedard of storms? Is this just going to fizzle out?
Or is this more Shane Wright? Or it's just like,
Shane Wright's going to score.
We'll manage
40 at the World Juniors and stick it to you for that.
Yeah, but Bedard will set up all 40 of them.
So, okay. Yeah, sure, you saw a celebrity. Want to quickly talk about that?
Oh, I did a little bit. So yesterday, I have a hockey game downtown. Yesterday, 7 p.m., really tough time, right?
That's
tough
rough.
To get down to Mattamy Athletic Center at 7 p.m. on a Wednesday in the middle of Christmas shopping
season. Everyone's preparing for the generational
while
storm.
While everyone's trying to, you know, get things done before Connor Bedard hits on Friday. So I'm doing like a 12-step process. I'm running errands on the way. I'm taking it, you know, leave the house at like 2. Mm-hmm. I'm at Sherway by 3. I'm at getting stuff for the dog.
All you do
4.
Is go to the mall, eh?
I'm doing little stops on the way. I mean, yeah. Do you not have to shop before Christmas, Ailish?
There's online services that deliver to your house.
Not on time, and we'll talk about that tomorrow if your online services actually
It'll
benefit
be
you. Anyway, I'm doing the mall thing.
You're a mall walker. That's what you are.
I'm wasting time at the mall.
You've got your New Balances on, and you're in the, the express lane, yeah. And you're ripping by people.
Yeah. I'm ripping by people, and I rip by one Mark Giordano.
My God.
Just hanging out.
Did you say anything?
Putting that $800,000 to good use.
What did he have in his hands? What bags?
He had a bag that, you know, was a luxury item.
What
like
what
I don't
was
I
it?
Didn't look at the bag,
Come
but it's
on,
this
you
should big,
have analyzed
it's this,
this
big black nice bag, and it's like
Dior.
Oh,
it's Dior.
You got something nice
it's Dior.
For the wife.
It's Dior.
You got something nice.
It's Dior.
I don't think it was Dior.
Okay.
It was a big bag.
It's a Dior purse.
It was probably
for sure.
Like a really nice winter jacket or something like that. That's kind of the bag vibe I got.
Okay, so like one of those Nobis jackets. Those are expensive.
Yeah, it was probably something like that.
Wow. What
so
was he
just,
wearing?
He's just casually hanging
out. Hat on?
Very recognizable. No one was bothering him. I was like, yeah, you can come home.
That's so nice.
If you're a 38-year-old who's looking to transition just the way Jason Spezza and Mark Giordano have, you can go to the mall 3 days, 4 days before Christmas. No one will bug you.
Wow.
They might mention it on the radio the next day, but they're not going to bug you.
Can you just quickly, what was he wearing?
I don't really remember.
It was
like a black jacket. It was a nice, he looked good.
Was he wearing a hat, like trying to disguise himself?
He was wearing a hat.
Okay, so that's an important piece of information.
But it was not
fresh-faced, bald guy.
It was not
guy.
Concealing his identity whatsoever. It
I
was
wish you had asked him if
Mark
he would come on the show.
We can do that without someone harassing him at the mall. Like, we can just put that request in.
Nah, it's different if you went up to him and said, hey there, I'm Justin. Big fan. We love you.
The four people that were probably trailing him as security would pop out and
you
probably...
You think he had security at the mall?
No, I don't think so. I think he was just
different
being...
He was
just being a normal dude.
It's different
that liked
if Austin
it.
Matthews was shopping at Louis
Austin
Vuitton.
Austin Matthews is, you know, you, parallel, doing things online. I'm the Mark Giordano of the world. Grinding with the people 4 days before Christmas.
All right. Well, that's really cool. Maybe tonight that's a good vibe for the wake and rake. Like, you got a little geo action. He was out. He's feeling confident. You know, he's not worried. He's relaxed. Maybe pots a goal or assist or something. So send that in 5-9-5-9. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, it's the award-winning wake and rake. Back-to-back wins.
Back-to-back.
We're giving you the money to go to Sherway Gardens.
This is the birdie on 18. It's all, yeah, it's what you need to get yourself something nice like Mark Giordano did, assumingly, for his wife.
His loved ones. Okay, quickly, we got two texts in already. Oh, boy. Morning, guys.
What do we got?
Dave from Niagara Falls, manager in the GTA paramedic service.
Okay, that's...
Please stay off
legit.
The roads and take the advice seriously. Best case, the storm doesn't happen and everybody's safe at home. The worst case, you ignore the advice and you're out there on the slippery roads and you risk other people's lives and yourself. Stay home, enjoy the early Christmas break. Please!
Okay.
You're going to not listen to Dave?
So what are we going to do then? Are we going to open... Am I going to open my gift for you?
I don't know.
And, like, hold it
I'm
up?
I'm less worried about that. Like,
or
I don't
do
know.
Do we do Christmas after
Let's
Christmas?
Let's do it after. Mitch from Kincardine. Talking about the storm, it's supposed to be the worst. Around here, you know, like on the shoreline, a little bit inland, and our family's actually supposed to fly down to Vegas on Christmas. Ooh. However, we've decided to leave early and go tonight. Good for you. Before the storm hits through the night, tonight, Friday morning. So we're going to stay down in Toronto for 3 nights just so we can get out of the area. If we leave until tomorrow morning, we might not make it. The weather is the way they are predicting.
Okay. Sorry, what was the credential on that one?
He lives in Kincardine. That's his credential.
Okay. I mean, that you know a little
and
bit more.
And his name's Mitch.
However.
But he knows the weather.
It could be generational up there in Kincardine and pretty Shane Wright-esque down here.
Okay, one more.
Toronto.
Brock and Peterborough. Morning, guys. I'll be grinding Friday and Saturday, delivering your favorite chip products. See, there are people out there that put in the work, and they grind for us. They are legends. They are heroes.
You need chips over the holiday
Brock
season.
Brock is one of those.
That is for sure.
All right, well, let us know your thoughts on the storm.
I got one more Christmas thought.
Okay.
I'm noticing that no one puts up Christmas lights anymore.
That's such a suburbs thing to say.
It is. It's a suburbs thing to notice.
So Do you have Christmas lights up?
No. And like,
well, buddy, you're part of the problem.
I'm not criticizing. I'm just asking, is this not a thing anymore? Is this new generation of homeowner not putting up Christmas lights?
It's the millennial homeowners. Actually, none of them can afford a home, so it's not us.
So then what's the excuse? Because no one's putting up Christmas lights anymore.
That's strange.
Or just when I see them when I'm coming in, people are like, oh,
maybe they turn them off in the middle of the night.
Before bed.
Like, You're leaving at four.
That might be the case, but like I'm seeing less and less. Mm. And before, when we were kids, it felt like
it was so much fun.
If you didn't have Christmas lights,
you were a loser.
You were the problem. Now it seems like it's the opposite.
Well,
at least in terms of like who's putting it up and who's not.
My family used to go hardcore on the Christmas lights.
Mm-hmm. Do they still? There's the question.
We live out in 50 acres of woods.
Does it matter?
So what are we putting Christmas lights on for the coyotes?
Some people will drive them by.
The answer is we still do it, yes.
Okay.
But it's a little bit less insane. We once won this province-wide competition contest for the best Christmas lights in the province, and people had to submit it. I was quite young. It was another radio station. I don't know if we own them, so I don't want to give them.
You don't have to do that.
Anyway, there's another radio station that was putting on a province-wide competition, and you submitted the best houses for Christmas lights, and my family won. And we won a trip to Disneyland, the four of us.
What?
Yeah, it was legit. Justin, this was like a big competition.
Okay.
But I was so young, I don't remember it. All I remember is I got a little Simba, like, teddy bear thing. But I don't remember going to Disneyland. I think it was four. But we went hardcore enough to win a massive competition and a flight.
It must have been legit.
And tickets to Disneyland.
I will say, and this kind of belies your point of how no one will see it the further you are up north. Or the further you are remote from anyone else. But I feel like proximity to Toronto determines Christmas lights.
Could be it.
What?
That could be it.
Yeah, I think like, yeah, I mean, you're not doing it in Toronto, obviously. There's nothing to hang a light on. But the closer or the further you get out of the city, I feel like people are more in tune.
Well, I live in a condo, so I can't really speak about it.
Do you have anything on the railing?
But I don't have a railing anymore.
Do you have anything anywhere?
Yeah, I have some internal decorations. I can see some people with massive Christmas trees in the windows.
Yes, I have some internal decorations.
I'm not the problem here.
So Christmassy.
Dave says hydro is too much.
Maybe that's it?
Yeah.
Cost of brick is going up.
Speaking of lighting things up, Pascal freaking Siakam.
Yeah, it took us long enough to get to Pascal.
52 points last night. Madison Square Garden ends a six-game losing streak against the hottest team in the NBA. That is what dreams are made of. Mm-hmm. Like, you put your head on the pillow and you are an aspiring NBA player or a current NBA player, and you dream of a night like that. And we saw that from Pascal Siakam. Career high, tying a Raptors high. It was immaculate performance, incredible to watch at the time where this team needed something good. We needed something good to talk about. The fans needed something good to talk about. The ESPN and co-writers needed a little bit of a turn of content, and God, did we get it.
I feel like I'm going to sound like a little bit of a hater here. But I was watching, so I was catching up yesterday. Mentioned the hockey game. I'm catching up. PVR, get home, watching it. And I'm realizing here, Pascal's awesome. He's having a great game. He's like, he's really their only offensive option. He's carrying him through. Mm-hmm. But I see you putting notes in and like career high and all this stuff and Raptors and where he fits in. And I'm like, wow, he must really have an amazing fourth quarter, because it didn't feel necessarily in the moment like it was this legendary Madison Square Garden thing. So, like, 6 minutes left, and I know the result, and I know Pascal gets what he gets, but I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, it's got to be all Pascal from here on in.
It got a little bit nervous at the end, I'll tell you that.
And I'm like, okay, did I look at the right score? Because it looks like the Knicks are coming back. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like Pascal's actually filling it up right now. He sat for a long stretch to start the fourth quarter. I'm like, okay, he must go just completely legendary in the last 2 minutes here. And I guess to a certain extent he did. He was, you know, he salted the game away. He got to the free throw line. He hit the and one to go over the 50 piece and hit 52. But it didn't feel, and I think that's almost the best compliment to him. And it wasn't just like hot hand, or it wasn't like way out of the ordinary. It was, that was the only way they were going to win, if Pascal was just the mark of efficiency and was brilliant from the start and to the finish of that game. I will say, though, the play of the game, because I was expecting this like amazing finish from Pascal where it was just like a 10-0 run by himself to close out or whatever. The play of the game was the other two that have been maligned to a certain extent and haven't done the job to support Pascal, or at least one part of that equation. But OG Anunoby not being available and Fred VanVleet not being consistent, the combination of the OG block and keeping it in bounds, mm-hmm. and Fred hitting that three, that was the play of the game.
This, for me, and I agree, it's all about Pascal. The headlines, obviously, were leading with Pascal with 50-piece, of course. But Pascal crushing as number one option to score. Fred thriving as the facilitator. And he hit a couple threes, which is great.
And he hit some big shots.
And OG being an assassin on D, that is the vintage Raptors layout. That's what we've come to love and mm-hmm. respect and expect as well from this team. Pascal, Fred, and OG elevating their game, working in that tandem, all bringing what they bring to the table, and that's what we saw last night. Even Malachi Flynn having, you know, best bench performance in terms of his impact, maybe not numbers wise, but he had a, you know, big block at the end as well. Like there was a lot of team effort that was elevated,
mm-hmm.
and it really made a difference, because you're right, Pascal had to get 52 points basically the entire offense for most of the game. There was one point where I saw a stat that he had either assisted or been a part of like 80% mm-hmm. of their points at that point. That might have been before the first half. And if he's not performing at that level yesterday, they don't win that game, obviously. But yeah. that's kind of the situation that they're in. If Pascal has to be the number one guy, that's how you have to win a game
yeah,
like that.
I feel like that's where I'm at, where I'm like feeling some or saying something negative to say something positive. And it really was, to win that game, it had to be Pascal being everything going through him.
Otherworldly.
But him being the mark of efficiency, being unbelievable from start to finish, doing the best with his touches, doing the most with his shot attempts, mm-hmm. and really good defense. And that's the only way it's going to come together, because you're right. Pascal was the only option offensively.
Well, hold on.
Fred hit some shots.
Fred had 28 points, but the two of them combined for 71 points of the game.
Fred hit some shots, but again, wasn't perfect.
Right.
And it seemed like if Pascal wasn't doing it, it wasn't going to happen. However, the best version of the Raptors team right now is Pascal doing everything on the mm-hmm. offensive side of the floor, whether it is scoring or facilitating, and pairing that with brilliant defense, which the Raptors showed at times in that game. If you can pair those things together, you can win basketball games. However, we've been talking about the margins being thin. How can you do that every night? Because you have to find other ways to win.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the only way the Raptors are going to win right now is if it's Pascal plus defense.
In the last two games, he has 90 points. He set a Raptors record for the most points in a two-game span. He is one of five Raptors of all time to get over 50 points. Freddie, Siakam, DeMar, Vince Carter, and Terrence Ross. That's it. But what I thought was really special, and I mentioned this from the top, is the Madison Square Garden thing. Not many people come into MSG mm-hmm. and put up 50-plus points. Like, you are in elite company.
Rarified air.
And that is so special for Pascal and special for this team. You're not doing this against the Beam team. No offense, who also helped us win the Wake and Rake. But this is something really special. This is doing it when it matters in star-studded, high-stakes, Spike Lee up in your face. Like, I think that there's an added factor to why last night was so special, and the fact that they came in, did this against the hottest team, they ended their own losing streak, etc. But that makeup of last night's game, although a lot of that was on Pascal, that's how you're going to win games if you're the Toronto Raptors right now.
He finished 17 for 25, 41 minutes, 16 for 18 from the free throw line. That's really the key. Like, that's the...
Yeah, he was at the line all the time.
That's the Embiid formula, right?
Yeah.
When he puts up these gaudy numbers and it's like, okay, like, you're scoring the basketball, you're hitting mid-range shots, you're dominating inside the paint, but you're also getting the line 20 times and you're a great free throw mm-hmm. shooter. And that was sort of Pascal's MO yesterday was getting to the line. And I guess that's why when you look at comparing it to other 50-point efforts, like even the Fred, the franchise record 54, he hit 11 threes in that game. And it's like, oh, that's how
11
you,
threes, that's Fred?
That's how you got.
Wow, those are the days.
Those are the days.
Oh,
that's,
my God.
But that's the easier way to, like, be really recognizable
it's
on your path to 50 points. Pascal was just, like, getting some every single time. It seems the Raptors had a trip to the Knicks end. Like, every trip to the offensive floor seemed to go through Pascal, and he definitely got the most out of that game.
Okay, well, you definitely want to hear his thoughts after. He's such a stoic guy on the court, but when he hit that 50, like,
I loved it.
That
I loved
filled
he,
my heart
I loved
with joy.
I loved how he knew, right?
Well, you know.
Basketball players always know.
You know your points.
There must be live points up because they always seem to know exactly what they have.
Well, definitely. If you're heading into 50, you know exactly every possession, how much you need.
I loved how much he enjoyed getting to that point.
Oh, my God. It actually filled my heart with joy to see Pascal smiling ear to ear, pumping his fist, the team already like, yeah, buddy, you got it. Anyway, we have his post-game conversation and podium appearance on this historic night at MSG.
Obviously, I'm not a super basketball historian, you know, like I didn't start basketball till, you know, a little late and I'm learning about all these things, but I know how special this building is, you know, and I think that for me, which is like the more important thing, is that, you know, like my team needed every bucket for us to win, which is like the most important thing for me, like wanting to get a win and making sure that we get back on the right track. And, you know, those guys out there are special. And I just felt like, you know, everyone needed that moment and, you know, everyone be happy for each other. And we haven't had an opportunity to cheer for a little bit, you know, so I think it felt good.
No, he said it. We needed every one of my buckets. Like, yeah. That's not a shot at his team, but it's a fact. Like, they didn't win.
It's a pretty astute observation, though.
They didn't win 128-90, like this was tight. There was a lot down the line here that mattered. At one point I'm watching and I think they're up by like four. I'm like, just give them the ball, because it started getting like, you're balancing. We've talked about this with Ovi and like when you're on the cusp of getting, you know, greatness, how your team also tries to put you in positions to get there. But they also needed to win the game, right? So there's a couple, like OG took this one shot from like, he didn't need to take the shot, and he missed. It was like a three, and I was like, just give the ball to Pascal. Like, why are you shooting? So you're kind of balancing wanting to see him get this, but they also need this win. So it ended up being perfect, the win and the Pascal history. And so they got both, but what if they, you know, sacrificed getting Pascal the ball and they lose the game, right? Like, it was a perfect storyline, but there was a part of me that thought, oh, he's not going to get it, and someone's going to, you know, Fred's going to keep trying to hit threes, and he doesn't hit it, like... I get a little bit nervous, to say the least.
Yeah, I think maybe the best stat is that 46% of the Raptors' points were scored by Pascal. Because, like, you're in these games where you go legendary, like Fred did with the 11 threes, it was 123 points, but this was a close 113-point game. And I guess, like, we were a little lucky, too, because it was even tighter than that. It was even lower scoring than that. And things really opened up in the final 30 seconds to allow Pascal to have that opportunity. I think he scored 5 points in the final 30 seconds to push him over the number. That's just how the game state went. But yeah, he said it. They needed every single one of those points. They needed that victory. They're going to need other ways to win because this is impossible every night, this sort of efficiency. But this is where Pascal's at. And this is where everyone else on the Raptors is at, where it's like, he's at this level that he laid out for himself. Everyone else is trailing behind pretty far.
Speaking of that, and I hate to find a way to bring up something that isn't all flowers and rainbows this morning, but another disappointing performance by Scottie Barnes, who could help shoulder some of this goal scoring and points, but he gets 2 points last night. He went 1-for-11, 0-for-2 and threes. 2 points on the night. In his last two games, or last week in two games, he had 53 points. And so it's not that we can't see him put up two consistent games in a row, but now this week, it's the down part of Scottie Barnes. We're seeing the inconsistent, the frustrated Scottie Barnes. And now that's just two games in a row where he's not contributing to this team. And if we're looking at how to have this longevity of this performance, it can't be Pascal only getting 52 and Fred getting the second amount and then nobody else really putting up buckets. So
It's a shocking stat line, when you look at it.
Last night was shocking stat line.
When you look at what the, you know, when you look at Pascal's numbers, but compare him to, that's not exactly a kind cross reference. This has been the story for Scotty, though. It just hasn't been there. Even if you don't have the numbers, at least have the impact.
Yeah.
And we're not even seeing the impact. We're seeing him have to sit down because the game is getting away from the Raptors when he's out there or in time, key moments when he's out there. Yeah, it seems like more steps back. It's not even the two steps back, one step forward, or two forward, one back.
It's back.
It's like, you know, you can gain an inch and then you lose 5 feet.
The last part of this that I think you brought it up perfectly here in our notes, but when I watched that game, it felt to me like the Raptors, their big three, whatever you want to call them, they had something to prove last night. And maybe it's the way that the media has been circling and vultures have been talking about this team, and ourselves included. There's been a lot of speculation of OG getting the return of a century if he gets traded. Fred's on the chopping block. Mm-hmm. Is Pascal able to lead this team? Like, all three guys had some sort of narrative from the media coming into that game. And I don't know if they're playing for their lives.
I thought you were mocking that when I said they were playing for their lives.
No, I'm saying, like, I legitimately think that there is some outside noise that these guys hear or sense. And last night was a shut up, look at us game.
Yeah, I kind of get the feeling that once there's so much noise, there's too much noise. When you can't prevent it from seeping into the walls and into the conversation that you're having inside the room, you've got to decide if this is something you want to fight for. Are you, that being Fred VanVleet, do you want to be the leader of this team for the foreseeable future? Do you want to stay here? Do you want to go somewhere else? Or do you want to continue to pair with Pascal Siakam and be a part of the next winning iteration of this team? Or does it not mean that much?
Or...
And it could be the other way with OG. It could be like, oh, I want to play my way out. I want to make my value this. But I don't think that's the case.
I think those three guys
understand that the support isn't there for them right now. Mm-hmm. Fred probably understands that.
I mean, they're in a historic losing streak, basically. Blow it up territory.
Yeah, and Fred, I think, understands that his game isn't where it needs to be right now. But he's got to find a way, if he wants to hold this all together, to support Pascal, because Pascal's at that level. Those three played like they wanted to continue on with each other, at least last night. And they're going to have to be at that level because, again, to keep all this together, they're going to have to raise the tide to have all the boats be raised as well, because they're not getting enough from the support system. And it might take games like that from Pascal and plays like we saw late in the game where OG blocked Randle, saved the ball. It moved up to Fred, who knocked down the three. That was the biggest sequence of the game. Performances, individual, and moments from guys like OG, Fred, that might keep them alive, might keep them afloat, might keep them on the path moving forward.
Regardless, there's so many positives when you look at just the performance from last night, because this Raptors team can do this, right? Like, it's not that they're broken enough that there isn't a solution. I don't think that Pascal is going to put up 52, but as we said, that's the Raptors formula, what we saw last night. Even if it's 20% less next game, they can be a scrappy, winnable team if they put the puzzle pieces together. So I think you can look at last night as the blueprint to how they can play the next couple games. But they're playing some really tough teams. Last night was a really tough team. They were on a back-to-back, but they were on their own winning streak. They're one of the hottest teams in the NBA.
They're deeper,
and they're MSG, and that all of that was stacked up against the Raptors, and they found a way. So how can you not feel like, if they can string together consistency, not only in Scottie Barnes, but all their play, their structure, then they can turn this around one step at a time.
Pascal plus defense, that is the key. And if you said it, 20% less Pascal, I'm not sure what that works out to in terms of 50. I should probably do that math in my head, but I can't do it right now. It's too early. Anyway, if it is 20% less, it's okay, because maybe the impact of Siakam having this sort of game, he's going to get a little bit more attention. Maybe that opens things up a little bit more for easy looks for guys like Scottie Barnes and Chris Boucher and Thad. Maybe his
Chris
level...
Chris Boucher played terrible last night.
He did.
Unfortunately.
But if Pascal plays at that level and that that defensive scheme works the way it did last night, or the effort is where it was last night, they played really, really hard defensively. That's the difference. If you pair those two things, you don't need 52 points because maybe other things open up for you too.
The defensive game of OG
30
is,
points, I believe, would be the...
It's 40, I think.
40.
The defensive game of OG is so fun to watch because he pisses the other team off. Like, Randall wanted to do what Dan Kelly did to Michael Bunting times 50.
Send him into the fifth row.
And it's so fun to watch that because he does it just by playing hard, like respectable D. And
he's just getting up in you.
And Randall throwing his arms up whenever, like every play, it's just, it gets in other people's heads and it's fun to watch because OG does it the right way.
Randall still had a big night, but if Randall could keep it together a little bit, if he could have kept it together, maybe that game's a little bit different.
Anyway, so
credit OG.
Yeah, credit OG. Credit Siakam, of course, Fred. The whole team had an elevated performance.
The whole team?
Okay, well, obviously not every single player had an elevated performance, but the big guys showed up when they need to.
Yeah, you can kind of count on one hand, I think, good games from the Raptors yesterday, unfortunately.
Sorry that I feel excited.
No, yes. I think you should feel excited.
I know. We talked about Scottie Barnes, and there's a couple areas of improvement. But if you can do that without Scottie Barnes, maybe he turns the corner, he feels a little less pressure, and he performs. Okay, so Raptors back in action at Cleveland tomorrow night. That'll be a big game, 7:30 p.m. Then they take a little time off as well. But they got the Clippers, they got the Grizzlies, they got the Suns. They got the Pacers and the Bucks all over the next two-ish weeks. So it doesn't get easier. It gets litmus test central.
Yeah, even 50 points from Pascal might not be enough against those teams, right? Yeah. The other guy's got to get better. There's got to be some inspiration. There's got to be some others pulling on the rope because Pascal can't do that every night. And the way everybody else is playing, you might need that every night.
All right, we're going to talk to Blake Murphy, friend of the show, at 7:30. We have Kipper at 8, and obviously Frank Saravalli, our guy, our weekly man, joining the show.
Our weekly man.
And the Leafs are playing the Philadelphia Flyers, not the Phillies, today at 2 p.m., as you said. It's the next-gen game, which is super fun. It's going to be a riot down there. Usually I'm asked to show up an hour and a half before the game. I'm going directly from the studio to the game today because there's so much stuff going on. Like, I'm ripping down.
So you're just
going
to be interviewing kiddos?
It's going to be really
fun.
Wait,
don't they do your job for you today?
So sometimes you have, like, little co-hosts that are small, little, like, aspiring broadcasters. Very cute. I'm not even sure what's going on down there, but I'm going to be there, like, 6 hours before the game. It's going
to
be crazy.
I'm pretty sure you have to be there early, but you'll just hand off the mic.
No, I'll be doing the job, buddy.
I don't know.
I'm not letting some kid take my job.
I've been to a next-gen game before.
<I'm> just <kidding. laughs>
You're just scrapping it.
There's a lot of pressure.
Out.
I'm like, hey, shut up. Don't be good. So today's going to be awesome. The next-gen game, of course, is a very fun opportunity for, you know, a little bit more kid-friendly action. I'm sure the tickets are still $350 minimum to get in, but it's their final break, a game before the break against the Flyers today. Looking forward to it. I think it'll be a nice way to cap off what's been a great month or two here with the Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm.
The next gen game can spark fireworks.
Yeah.
Do you remember, I don't know if it was 3 years ago, it must have been, the world was a different place when they hosted Carolina.
It was 8-7 or something.
8-6, I believe. Matthews scored a ridiculous goal. It was a feverish comeback. It was like one of the all-time games for this iteration of the Maple Leafs.
I feel like things are a little loose.
Yeah, I think you're looking ahead a little bit, but it was, I hope it gets... I don't know, it's torts in the Philadelphia Flyers, so maybe...
There'll be a lot of torts talk, too, and we'll talk to Frank about that.
But they're all thinking about vacations.
It'll be...
Sometimes when you're thinking about vacations, the game can get pretty exciting.
So a couple of just tidbits here. Rasmus Sandin not at practice Wednesday, will miss today's game, so there's new pairings. It's a bit of a blender down there. Dryden Hunt, who is new to the roster, doesn't look like he's playing today as well, so it'll be a bit funky back there. But Sandy not playing, practicing, I get it, because you're about to have a little bit of a break. I'm not saying that the Flyers are cakewalk, but why rush a guy with a potential neck injury to play one game when you can take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days off here? They play back on the 27th.
It's like tomorrow's show. Do you need to come in, or you just make sure you get a couple days?
True. Anyway, so lots to look forward to. Looks like Samsonov starting, big bounce back opportunity for him after he was nervous against his former team.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like today's going to be fun. I think it's going to be loose. Looking forward to it. But Daniele put something in here that I didn't know, I didn't see. Speaking of your buddy Gio, 39, he's the oldest active skater. We know that. But apparently, according to The Athletic, Gio is providing $8.5 million worth of value for the Leafs this season.
Oh, yeah. Where'd they come up with that?
I don't know. They must do the numbers and the Corsi and the stats and the mm-hmm. maps, but what?
10 times his value.
No wonder he feels confident ripping around the mall, because he might get some more money if he wants to keep playing.
Well...
No, I he's mean, a hometown I mean, discount I mean, guy. He would
key.
Never.
That's the key. He's in the career transition program.
$8.5 million value.
Yeah, it just underscores what he's done this year for the Maple Leafs, right? Like, if you look at the analytical profile, he's not getting that 8.5 through goal scoring or production, really. It's what he's done from the defensive end. And what's interesting about it is, like, it's the intangible that might be his value, but it hasn't just been the intangible. It's been the data. It's been the raw numbers. It's been the performance from shift to shift.
That was just shocking to me.
That you can actually measure. Like, if we're talking about Mark Giordano, the leadership, the way people can bounce ideas off him, the way he can settle things down, the way he can settle down a partner. But in addition to all that, that says that his numbers are elite.
Mm-hmm.
And that even when thrust into positions that he's probably not prepared for or ready for or should be in as a 39-year-old, he can still do them. I will say, we should be talking about load management with him.
Well, now. They're about to have a break.
39, so. Let's get Riley back, slow things down, curb the...
enthusiasm?
Not the enthusiasm, but the load on him.
Yeah.
Keep things kind of... manageable, because if you ask too much, if you ask for an $8.5 million,
you can push your limit
sort of
here.
production now, are you getting that when you need it the most?
Okay, so I mentioned new pairings. We've got Gio and Hall, Ben and Liljegren, and Brody and Timmins.
Say again.
Gio and Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Ben and Liljegren and Brody and Timmins.
Maybe the value is just carrying Justin Hall. No one's talking about Justin Hall
That's
anymore.
That's why he's worth $8.5 million.
No one's talking about him anymore. Wonder what his value is.
Oof.
Now, is that... We'd have to look it
this
up.
This was yesterday's.
This is a question that would jam you up. But is this just everyone's value league-wide?
Buddy,
or did
I don't
they
know.
Do the own pie graph
I think
for
they did the own pie graph.
The pie graph for your team. So, like, what has Pierre Engvall been worth this year, I guess, is my question.
He's a hot goal scorer now.
We can check that out in the break. But yeah,
Chris from London.
He's got a nice...
Uh-oh, he's fired up. You said Pierre Engvall.
Quality finish there with an empty net.
Yeah. Okay, so last time that the Flyers were here, remember Torts calling out the media, pointing the finger at us and said that we were too harsh on Sheldon Keefe. Since then, Leafs 16-3-4 in their last 23 games.
He might have been right. Might have been something to that.
I'm sure we'll get some Torts talk today. He's obviously been in the media for benching his star players. Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit of drama going around with him.
I would say he could. The floor is there to take a victory lap. But by the way, things have gone there and how he's openly beefing with maybe Philly's best player. Things aren't going very well.
That's pretty crazy. We haven't brought that up on the show, but... I don't know what the positive outcome of that is. Like
that being he benched Kevin Hayes.
Right. And like is calling him out in the media. I don't know why.
And then they're both being asked about
yeah.
it and it's like
what's
do,
the
you
thought
want,
process
do you want
behind
us to
that?
Bury each other? And I mean, I know you got to ask the question, but it's just like you're upset with the question, but you're the one who did it. You're the one who provoked those questions mm-hmm. by benching someone who didn't need to be benched. And it's just like, it goes back to the question, and we'll ask Frank about this, but like, why on earth did the Philadelphia Flyers, who are maybe in the worst position league-wide in terms of actually building a winner, get delusioned enough into thinking that John Tortorella could at least give them something respectable? Like, Tortorella is that guy where he can give you more from less. However, if your team is so down bad... that Torts can't get even a better dead cat bounce than what you got right now, you know you're in the worst spot. And they should have been able to recognize that being Flyers management and Flyers ownership, that they had nothing here. And now with throwing someone highly combustible like John Tortorella into the mix, who was supposed to save things but can't because they're not good enough, you just have this garbage fire.
And the garbage fire rolls in tonight, today. Mm-hmm. We'll see. You mentioned that the next-gen games have been loopy. Leafs are 6-1-1 in the next-gen games. 4 goals per game average, 2.5 goals against per game average.
That's a fun game.
It's going to be fun.
That hasn't been the Leafs this year,
ever.
That hasn't been the Leafs this year. 4 goals for, 2.5 against. It's been more like 3 goals for, 1.5 against.
Anyway, lots to look forward to. Justin's in attendance.
Yeah, we'll have a full evaluation of your performance tomorrow. I'm looking forward to seeing you on the mic at Scotiabank Arena for the first time.
We're in my Bieber Drew house.
Will you be nervous? Will you be...
No, buddy, I talk to you every day.
Yeah, but you know I'm going to be nitpicking things.
I hope you come with a full report
will
card
be
of analysis.
To pick?
I'm a pro, but I will say I'm going to be like riding the energy drinks today because that's a long day. I won't be getting home till past 6 and I'll have done 2 jobs without any naps. So that's why today I've filled the vibes today. I'm hoping that the caffeine
I feel like it's,
kicks
I know,
in all day.
I know you have to go in earlier, but I feel like it's better because you could be down and cool sleeping by 8 p.m. tonight if you want. You won't, but you could.
Unfortunately, I can't because we got the Jags and the Jets tonight, which you can send your wake and rake selections in for at 590-590. We would appreciate that because that's the game tonight.
Not only is it the best Jags and Jets game ever, has to be, right? I mean, I don't think the Sanchez era Jets had anything even remotely, well, they had things going, but were the Jags good at the same time? I have no idea. But this is a genuinely great Thursday night game involving two teams that usually belong on Thursday night, which is not a good thing. I'm looking forward to this one.
No, it's going to be great, so I'll have to get a nap in before that. Lastly, just quick touch on Messi. So I don't know if you heard, but...
I heard you.
He was potentially pondering going to, a little MLS action.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently,
bag at Miami.
Apparently staying at PSG post-World Cup.
Yeah, maybe he came to his senses a little bit. I still got it.
He sure does still have it.
I can't go to the MLS yet. Maybe I got another 4 years in me. I actually was I was hearing a lot of people talk about, like, don't talk about Messi coming back. He already said that. That's the perfect ending. If he wants to, and he's still playing at that level, why not go back? You still have the fairy tale.
I think that's what we wanted and we hoped for.
It would have been cool if he came through Toronto and just scored every time he touched the ball, but
I think there's still that potential. Maybe he plays another year here.
I think he would be so fed up with MLS, like, immediately. Like, I'm not trying to disparage it, but, like, if you have an ISO cam on Messi, just watching him, he's like, he's not, like, annoyed, but they don't force the ball to him. But if no one can put him in positions, I feel like he would just, like, lose his mind. I don't feel like he'd like it. I think he's in the best spot. Continue on with PSG, Champions League games, maybe another 4-year cycle, get back to the World Cup. We're all for that.
One last thing here. Canada dropped to 53rd in the new FIFA rankings today. I think not really surprised with
how many teams are at the World Cup?
Lots.
32.
But it was the biggest drop of any team in points.
Interesting. They went from 41 to 52.
That's correct.
After a bad performance in a 32-team tournament at the highest level. I'd like to hear the rationale.
Okay, we'll get the FIFA rankings on the phone after the break. No, we got the A-list, the holiday list, and we're giving fans of the Maple Leafs some gifts today. That's next.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Now, it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Oh, 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 it's the holiday list. Final edition of giving fans and our demographic some holiday gifts. We've gone NFL, Blue Jays, Raptors, and of course today to wrap it off, the Toronto Maple Leafs before their little next-gen game. Vibes are high. What to get the team that has everything? I found a few things to put in their stocking.
Do they have everything?
No, they don't.
Right now they might.
Yeah, I actually did find
other
this
than
one a bit
second
difficult.
Second line left winger. What is that? Was that your thing?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Okay, I reach into the stocking.
Sorry.
It's a bit messy because I've pulled out one singular chicken wing. Because they've had a bucket of chicken wings as of late.
When you have stuff like that planned, it's on me for not interrupting.
Go ahead.
I just interrupted again for a third time.
The chicken wing bucket has been used over the last couple months. This winger, we're trying this flavor out. We're trying this rub out.
Okay.
It's great. But now it's time to pull out the one singular key to this line.
The
one
classic
chicken wing that
just the classic
fits right in
wing.
There. Yep. So who is that? I don't care. I want one wing right in there on the second line.
Well, how about I propose this? I'll propose that winger should be a familiar wing. Although one being disguised, not disguised, but one that's been a center for a very long time. How about John Tavares? Because what I think the Leafs should want under their tree is a shiny new Bo Horvat.
Oh.
Why not go big? Why not ask
just
for it?
Just wrap him up in a little box.
Santa might bring it. Santa might fit him in his sleigh. Mm. Bo Horvat, I think, would be the perfect addition, the perfect all-in move, give you some flexibility, play on that second line with Tavares, or play on that third line. Although, you know, I like David Camp in that third line. Either way, I think they should make a splash. I think there's going to be a lot of interest, but maybe he wants to be a Leaf. Maybe that helps things out. Maybe they're able to take advantage of the misery in Vancouver and get their captain for a one-year rental.
All right. It's a great gift. It's the top of a couple people's list for sure.
To pair with that, because you get the shiny new full value Bo Horvat, you might have to settle for a knockoff for your back end. And I think the knockoff Scott Mayfield of the New York Islanders, like someone of that ilk, would be nice, because you know it can't be Scott Mayfield because Lou Lamoriello's not giving Kyle Dubas anything. But someone, you know, a knockoff version, a lesser version of Scott Mayfield, someone who can do Scott Mayfield things, but maybe isn't
it's
Scott
not
Mayfield.
Not the designer end of the
not
mall.
The designer
it's
end, not the thing Mark Giordano was carrying yesterday.
Yes.
You know, maybe he went to a different mall, a different
like
mall to get
Zara,
something similar.
H&M.
Well, you don't have to bury those two companies.
Well, versus
outfit people across the GTA.
Louis Vuitton, I'm probably wearing both of those today.
Sure. Okay. So a knockoff Scott Mayfield under the tree as well.
Sure. Okay. My second gift, you reach into the stocking. Ooh, this one has a little texture to it. It's sandpaper. You have a nice strip of sandpaper because the Leafs need a little bit of grit, a little bit of toughness. You saw what Michael Bunting did two nights ago that really invigorated this lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You have only Michael Bunting really doing that right now. So here's some sandpaper. Maybe that's Dryden Hunt. Maybe it's everybody just elevating their feistiness out there. So a little sandpaper for
could
the Maple
be Dryden
fans.
Hunt plus. But sandpaper could be a good thing. Now, my favorite Christmas movie is The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. And at the end of The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, the Grinch's heart grows how many sizes? I think three. Now, I'm not necessarily saying their heart needs to grow. And if your heart grows physiologically, that's not a good thing. But if their confidence could grow three sizes.
Three sizes is right.
If their will, determination, if all that could expand and multiply by three, that might be the key. So just like the Grinch, have something internal grow three sizes. That's, don't even go there because that's external, Ailish. That is external.
Uh-oh.
Reach back in your stocking.
Okay, finally in my stocking. Nobody likes to get gift cards, but how about a gas card?
A gas card?
Because the Maple Leafs right now are kind of in the cruise control state, and that's okay. You put the car in cruise control and you go for a little bit, but there's going to be a time where they're going to have to put on the gas to get up a hill. They're in a valley.
Mm.
This season, I don't want the season to just be cruise control. They're going to have to go through different gears, and you don't want to run out of gas at the end of the season, heading into the playoffs, when you're about to go into the first round. So here's a little gas card, and I'm going to give it to you, and you're going to be like, oh, yeah, I got to get gas. Oh, I have a gift card because Ailish gave it to me.
One of those ones you win, like free gas for the year.
Sure.
Unlimited gas card.
There
you
go.
Because you might need it.
You're going
four rounds. You need gas all the way through four rounds. Your stocking is
I'm
good stocking stuffers.
I'm a good giver.
Mine a little bit more up for interpretation, which was evident.
All right. Was that it?
That's it for me.
Well, happy holidays and Merry Christmas and so on and so forth to all of our fans from NFL to MLB to NHL to NBA. We've been giving all week. Tomorrow, we'd like to present each other and our colleagues with some gifts.
Oh, that's what we're doing the A-list tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be the holiday maybe list, or maybe we do that in a block.
The gift exchange.
We have some gifts to also give to each other. So that will be tomorrow. Maybe in person, maybe not, if the Connor Bedard of all storms hit. We'll see. I would like to give you the gift of being able to come into the office tomorrow and not be doing donuts on the highway.
You just don't want to come in because one of your online orders is not going to get here in
time.
It's
coming today.
And you're going to feel bad.
It's coming today. Estimated delivery date, 4 p.m.
Yeah. But we got the Connor Bedard of storms coming,
it's
which could derail
come.
Things.
I have gotten a guarantee from Amazon.
Okay.
Or your money back.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's coming today. And okay. I'm going to have it all beautifully wrapped. You know I want to come in. I want to decorate this place. I'm going to get here at 3:30 and it's going to be a winter wonderland.
I guess the benefit of getting here at 3:30 would be that you'll miss the storm.
True. I might just sleep right here on this desk. Anyway, I want to come in. I want you to be able to come in. I want our guys to come in so that we can all celebrate together.
So hold off, Connor.
That's part of the gifts and the wish list this year. All right. Top of the nice list is our next guest, Frank Saravelli, after the break.